Trendy is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it, must be 21 years or older. Welcome back to another edition of Trendy presented by Omaha, the show where we like to compete while exploring the best ways to wager for casual cappers. And Brett, this is a very special day. Two things happened that barely ever happened in the history of time. One, we have a total solar eclipse. And two, I beat Jen Piacenti in gambling. I came out ahead 19 to 16.6. So go ahead and repent and get your orders in fair, because both of these seem to be signs of the apocalypse. So I brought in somebody else to try to take me down this week during his own personal eclipse. This Brett Corominas, the things that you like to gamble on the most for as long as I've known you are golf, NCAA basketball, as well as soccer. And we have the men's national championship tonight. We have amazing Champions League action tomorrow and Wednesday. And of course, the golf event of all golf events, the Masters. So how are you celebrating this week while everything finally aligned for you?
Completely forgetting there was a solar eclipse until you texted me last night. We were going to work it into the opener in the show. Yep. And I'm slightly fearful because I was thinking about this before I came on. And I'm pretty sure like Brad and I, our cumulative like average Trendy scores are probably the lowest, and you just beat Jen. And I have so much respect for Jen. She's so good at what she does. And so I'm just preparing for just a woeful beatdown again this week, because you're doing well. Jen just lost, and I have come on Trendy and just been horrendous every single time. Like,
that's not true.
I had one decent week, but my whole thing, my bar is like, I just want to be better than Brett. I just need to be better than Brett. Like, I don't want to be the worst, because I know that I'll hear about it every time I produce a show if I'm officially the worst Trendy participant.
And you're coming off your worst month in the history of Covered in Glory last month. And so, like, not like exactly light the world on fire, but, you know, you never might. We might revert. Reversion comes for everybody except for Messi, of course. So Brett, you did mention the eclipse and how we were going to work it into the opening. And so, you've already kind of proven the point, right? Like, the eclipse seems to be a massive deal to some people. I keep having people ask me, you know, what I'm doing for it and whether I wish I was still in Austin so I could be in the path of totality. It's like, I didn't give it a whole lot of thought until I started getting like out of office messages. Like, oh, I'm not going to be at work next week because I'm eclipsing. I was like, I don't get this whatsoever. This is not for me, but it's clearly a big deal to other people. And that happens sometimes in the world of sports, right? So for you, what is like your eclipse? What is the thing that like everybody seems to be talking about, everybody seems to care about, that you do not care about at all?
For me, I mean, I'm keeping it, obviously this could just be like a recency thing too, but it's the NIL and transfer portal stuff with college basketball. Like, I went up to the library and I was talking to catching up with some old friends. And even one of the women I work at the library, like, made a comment about the kids getting paid now for the NCAA. And like, everybody has an opinion on NIL and transfer portal now. Everyone has an opinion. Like, it's broken college basketball. It's like we have this collective amnesia of that college basketball, like men's college basketball, is like this perfect thing. And then this stuff happened, and then now it's like infinitely worse. And it's like, men's college basketball is a mess. The only thing that changed the inflection point of where it got messy. So instead of dealing with like a player's AAU coach to get him on your team and possibly paying him under the table, you can deal directly with an agent and then promise them fake money from boosters. Like, what's the difference? Like, I don't understand. But everybody has an opinion. I cannot talk about college basketball without a coach or somebody in the industry or a friend or just a casual observer being like, oh, the kids are getting paid now. Look at what it's doing to the sport. It's like, dude, that sport was ruined before this. Like, they just changed how it's bad now.
Well, I would like to congratulate you on being the first person under 75 years old in the history to say, I went up to the public library to catch up with some friends. And so you're already off to a great start of where you're going to get the opinions that you're seeking and the peers in which you're going to receive them from. But I agree with the overall premise. Bagmen have existed forever. Now it exists in the open. I mean, I think it is better that it exists in the open, but the one and done ruined college basketball far more than NIL ever did. Like, as soon as we stopped knowing who these kids were every year and there was no continuity, and we went from like, oh my God, Garnett's a generational talent, look at this kid going to high school, to 20 people, you know, trying to do it within a year graduating every single year, then that's when college basketball eroded. And I'm not the first person, I won't be the last person. So my women's college basketball is starting to make a serious cut into like the men's basketball world. It's because the players stay and we know them and we build history with them and things like that. And so NIL is just going to make that worse because of the transfer portal and people like churning even more. And I think it's just like, now we're just like fully in the skid.
And the one thing I will say, and I'm going to burn some bridges if anybody listens to the show, which I doubt they will, but of the laziest people, no, I'm saying like these type of people, not if anybody listens to the show, if the people I'm about to mention listen to the show, which I doubt any of them do, but some of the laziest people I've met in professional sports are college basketball coaches. These guys get paid like $600K a year and they work like 4 hours a day and they complain about what they have to do. And I'm not going to name names, but I worked in and I dealt with a lot of college coaches when we were dealing with pre-draft stuff and we had a lot of players. And so I had to communicate a lot with people like that. And these dudes literally show up before their practice. Most of them don't even take that seriously. They just kind of throw together their practice plan. And then they show up at practice. They yell at kids for like 2 hours. They talk about how the kids all suck in a meeting, like right after practice. They maybe watch some film and then those guys go home or do whatever it is that they do or make some phone calls and recruit. Like most college, there are guys that work hard. There are really hardworking people in the industry. Director of ops guys, video guys, those guys grind. They put in super long days. And there are definitely people like on some of these mid-major benches that work really, really hard. But a lot of these dudes get paid a ton of money and their work week is like 20 hours. So like the fact that they sit here and they complain because they have to do what like say NBA teams do every season. Like all these guys like, oh, our roster turns over all the time. You know what happens in the NBA? Like half of their roster turns over all the time. They have an NBA draft that they have to prep for in the middle of their season as well. Like I think the transfer portal timing is stupid. But it's like, yeah, sorry that you can't just lie to a kid on a couple of visits or throw some money on the table and then he's locked into you because he can't transfer after you shovel a bunch of BS his way. And now you have to actually work and like evaluate players and look at your roster and see how kids fit together and then figure out market value. Sorry you have to work, college coaches. Oh, that must suck.
College coaches, I hope you have a spare moon around to cover yourself from the scorching hot take over here. What is going on with you, bro? You're coming on fire today.
Oh, believe me, this is years of pent up me trying to work 60 straight days to make my little training business run for 8 to 10 years, and then seeing these dudes walk in, be like, today was tough. You know, I had to coach 2 hours in a practice, and I'm sitting here and I'm on like hour five of workouts and I got three more still, and then I got to go to a gym and then I got to come back later and do a shooting workout. And these guys are complaining about how long their day is and how much their kids suck. Dude, it's pent up. I'm letting it all out. It's like a therapy session.
Yeah. I guess my only follow-up is, are you okay?
Oh, I'm good. I'm good. This actually makes me feel good. I'm not worried, clearly not worried about networking, but, and again, I have friends in the industry. I have some guys that work really hard and are really good at their job. But there are a lot of dudes in that industry, and there are a lot of people in the basketball industry in general that do not grind. They just collect their check. They've gotten there for reasons that are not meritocracy related. And those are the dudes that are probably complaining the loudest about the fact that they have to do actual work now.
All right. Well, my take is not anywhere near the level of yours with the vitriol, the scar tissue, and the intensity, or none of those things. I'm just not into cars. Like my eclipse is like anything driving related, NASCAR, F1, anything. I'm just not here for it. Like if I want to watch cool driving, Keanu Reeves needs to evolve. I need to be watching John Wick try to escape something or smash into bad guys. Like I do not care about anything that is driving related. I can't speak to it. I don't get it. I get like the live aspect of it because it's fun to drink during the day, literally at anything where that's socially acceptable. So like I get going to a race, but like watching it on TV, it's like 4 hours of left turns. I'm out.
Yeah. I mean, I'm with you on that one. I mean, I love movies like Baby Driver and Ryan Gosling's Drive. And like, I think there, even that stretch, like there's the big chase scene and like the Tom Cruise like rebooted Jack Reacher was pretty good. I'm here for like cool movie car chases. I mean, The Baby Driver was like such a fun movie. It's like a cool, fun soundtrack. It was like interesting premise and cool car chases, and they shot the movie in a really different way. But if you're going to be like, yeah, this guy's spoiler is like a tenth of degree lower and it gives him like this and it makes his car faster and means he doesn't have to pit like this. Like, I respect people that have their passions and they love that kind of stuff and they love the nuances of NASCAR. It is not for me at all.
Well, I mean, we agree on it, but like, I'm not trying to like yuck everybody's yum. It's just like, same with the Eclipse. I'm glad people take vacation that are like super into it. It's just, yeah, I'm just not going to be one of them. But like, I've been on the other side of this, and you probably have been too, like, especially as soccer fans. Like, there's a lot of time as a soccer fan in America where I was like on the other side. It's like, people just want to tell me about the diving and, you know, things like that, and how there's not enough goals and how much it sucks. Like, okay. So the other side of like the Eclipse thing is like, the 2008 Champions League final. The 2008 Champions League final, Chelsea versus Manchester United in the rain at Moscow. I was working at a law firm at the time as a lawyer. I was a young associate, and I had this like circled on my calendar. And let me tell you, like, the first wild thing about that day, Brett, it was a Wednesday. Like, the Champions League final was on a Wednesday. Like, can you imagine if the Super Bowl was just in the middle of the week? Why was this a thing? I don't understand it. It's like, oh, we can't interrupt the domestic leagues. Like, they don't reschedule the Super Bowl because of the XFL. Like, you're the freaking Champions League. Like, take your position on Sunday.
That's funny.
So, like, it was a work day. And it's like, obviously, with the time change, it was like 2 or 3 in the afternoon. And like, this is before NBC got the Premier League. So there wasn't, they were near as many people that was watching international soccer, but Chelsea was in the Champions League. And so I went to like, I was in downtown DC. I went to a bar that has international flags out front. Like, DC is actually a great place for soccer. It always has been because of that element of it. And I went in, even in this place that is like a very known for like having, you know, international flags and all that kind of stuff, nobody is watching it. It is just me. It is an Eclipse for one. And then I have to go and watch the most painful Chelsea loss, like, probably of my lifetime to this day, in the penalty kick, when Terry missed the penalty kick for them to fail to win it. I guess they lost it in the next round. I flipped a table over and started screaming and walked out. And in that moment, I was the crazy person. I was the crazy person who cared the most about the thing going on around me, and nobody else cared at all. You got anything like that?
Not mine. You mean this is going to be shocking to you. You know me well enough. Mine isn't about a specific event like that. So, I mean, there are probably some sporting events that I've really cared about, mostly like random stuff I probably bet on.
Of course.
Or just things with like a player that we worked with where like I was really excited about a game he had or something like that. But my biggest general thing that I know that I'm the crazy person about, like you were for that Champions League game, is Mike D'Antoni's legacy. I am, and this is full disclosure, like, he looked after me a lot during my career in basketball. He's a good dude. So part of it is like who he is as a person. But I also get so mad, and I've written about him multiple times. I just actually recently wrote about him for True Hoop over the summer. And he gets looked at like he was this ideologue that had one good idea, and that was the 7 seconds or less Suns. Like, he created this team that played pick and roll and played small and shot all these threes, and like that was his one contribution to basketball. And so he kind of, if for you and I, like the soccer people, he kind of gets compared to like Arsene Wenger, right? Like, he found this one thing that they did, and then that one idea everybody copied, and then he was kind of rendered obsolete by it. When that could be the furthest thing from the truth. He has literally influenced every single type of tactical thing that we see in basketball at this point. Not only the pace, not only the three-point shooting, not only the downshifting to playing skilled players over just lumbering big men. But then when he moved from Phoenix to the Knicks, he utilized David Lee as basically a point guard in the trail. So when you see Jokic and when you see Bam Adebayo like catch the ball after they come down the court and get into dribble handoffs and make all these crazy passes, you know who started utilizing big guys like that? Mike D'Antoni. And then when he went to Houston, you know this heliocentric model that everybody talks about, like Doncic ball or Russell Westbrook's usage rate or whatever it was that came up? You know who started that? Who had the trend of being like, I have one guy on my team that is, I would rather see him face a set defense or break down switches the entire game than like let Trevor Ariza come off a DHO? Was Mike with James Harden in Houston. That was the start of heliocentric basketball, where he was like, I'm going to give my best player the most possessions way above everybody else. I don't care if they know what's coming, because him with the ball in his hands is better than anybody else in that team doing anything. And you know what they did? They pushed a Golden State Warriors team at the peak of their prime with four Hall of Famers to Game 7 without Chris Paul. So sure. I am always going to be a huge fan of his legacy. He has impacted everything that you enjoy about the NBA and how it's played and all the fun stuff that's going on. Mike had a hand in that, and he never gets credit for it, and he gets cast out as an ideologue, and I am a psychopath that will argue with the random egg on Twitter, although I don't think those exist anymore. Now it's just Russian bots. But I will argue with anybody otherwise who says otherwise. I am the biggest Mike D'Antoni stan. I care about his legacy probably, definitely more than he does, but it's my thing. It's my eclipse.
All right. Well, I will save myself from your eclipse by telling you how I think he helped ruin basketball with that heliocentricity, but that's not his fault. He had to deal with what he had to do to try to take down the Warriors, but I don't think it's been particularly good for basketball.
So I'm
out on that.
It exploited. I mean, it's definitely a more efficient style to play. And whether, and he even said, like, I don't like playing this way, but it's the, like, I used to call it brute force offense. It's the most efficient way to score now, right? Space all your guys out, let them all shoot threes, let your best player just break down and play a little bit of one-on-one. That's just how the rules have shifted basketball. So, which is another thing, that would be another thing. Can you please ban the charge and put defensive 3 seconds and make that go away? Come on, NBA. Let's go. Yeah. We need to make these things happen.
All right. Well, so now you've said the NBA is broken and needs to fix it, and that all assistant coaches are lazy. I think that is enough eclipse takes for today. Let's go ahead and give Caesars a little bit of love, come back with our picks.
You know, when the conversation turns to emperors, I always go with my number one as Caesars. Let's talk about them a little bit, shall we? Tickets to the game, merch, meals at iconic restaurants, stays at Caesars Palace. All this can be yours when you bet with Caesars Sportsbook. Win or lose, every bet earns rewards credits, which you can redeem across the empire. Now, if you haven't started yet, register using this code. Listen up, OmahaFull. The word Omaha and the word full. And then you place your first bet up to $1,250. If you win, great. If you keep those winnings, but if you lose, you'll get your stake back as a bonus bet. 21 and over only. Offer valid and must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming. New users and first $10 plus wager only. Must register with eligible promo code. Bet amount of qualifying wager returned only if wager is settled as a loss. Maximum bonus bet, $1,250. Bonus bet expires 14 days after receipt. Tier credits and reward credits will be added to account within 7 days after qualifying wager settles. See Caesars.com/promos for full terms. Void where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through Horseshoe, Bossier City, and Harrah's, New Orleans. Massachusetts, call 1-800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Ohio, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harrah's, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER or West Virginia, 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
All right, Brett, we are back. It is time to play Heart, Head, Heater, Credit. We're going to have a particularly feisty edition today because I have seen your picks, and we are opposite of several of the mainstream games. And we're going to start with, and I will start since I am coming off a week where I beat Jen. I assume I beat you last time because that just seems to be the way it goes on the show. So for the Heart category, I am taking UConn. I don't think this is an overly controversial pick to lay the 7 tonight against Purdue. I love the Purdue story, and I would like for you to be ranked. I think you're about to take the other side of this. I would like to see them complete that story, particularly as a UVA fan who's gone through that journey ourselves. I know how special it could be to those fans who have earned the redemption through the pain they faced, particularly last season. But But come on, this is a heart pick. Like, how do you actually watch this UConn game and UConn team throughout this tournament and not think they're going to win this game, particularly when they're the only team in the entire country who has a guy at a fighting chance against Edie Size? You take away Edie Size, and you're down to some streaky shooting from the outside that they're going to have to live or die by, and you are likely going to die against this explosive Connecticut team. And then I looked at the numbers just slightly. UConn has all of their wins this year. They've only won four games inside this margin. And so, like, when they win, they usually would cover something 6.5, 7, no problem. I do think they're going to win, and therefore I'm taking them to cover tonight.
Yeah, I mean, it is hard. So the reason that this fell on my heart pick is I think I don't want to see a national championship game that's just, like, UConn winning by 25. I think that's part of why this is, like, my heart pick.
Yeah,
and I think the logic side that enters into that is, like, if we would have – If this season would have ended, regular season ends, conference tournaments end, and then the NCAA was like, UConn and Purdue, you're playing for the national championship before the tournament. Like, they were just like, this is the national championship game. I think that line at that point would have been -2.5. Mm-hmm. I think a big part of what's moved the line is UConn has just laid waste to everybody for the last five games. So it's like, if it would have been a 2.5, 3-point line at the start of the tournament, are we going to really let like five games influence that line, like 5 points higher? And I mean, look, like, Purdue is good. Like, this is a good basketball team. Like, Braden Smith and Fletcher Lawyer have really stepped up this year. Like, it isn't all about Zach Edey. I my concern with my own heart bet, I guess I'm doing like a second guess express on this right now, but it would be like, I think Danny Hurley is a good coach. I think he's going to have a much better game plan going into this too, which concerns me. Like, I mean, one of the things with Purdue is like, I would make Braden Smith shoot like 15 under threes and pick and roll with Edie and just let the big recover constantly so he doesn't get to set up shop deep in the paint on that roll. But I still think that these two teams are probably a lot closer than the tournament run-in has made UConn look. And my heart says there's no way that this UConn team can just trample the tournament like this. Otherwise, I'm going to have to probably accept them as one of the greatest all-time basketball teams that we've seen, which they may very well be. They may win by 20, and then I'm going to be like, wow, we really saw, like, the team that lost to 20 by Creighton, like, a few weeks ago. This might be the greatest college basketball team of all time.
I know. I mean, there's so many parallels to the women's final yesterday, right? Like, you got one team led by the National Player of the Year superstar who's kind of carried them with a great story after, you know, Caitlin Clark lost in the finals last year, Edie lost in the first round, versus the true juggernaut team in South Carolina and UConn. And we saw how it turned out on the women's side. I don't think it's going to turn out any different on the men's, but we're going to find out. And if you want to lay the 7 to find out, let's do it. I was looking at ways to try to, like, not go against what I want, because I want a close game. I don't want Connecticut to just blow them out of the gym. You and I want the same thing.
Yeah.
There's some Zach Edey props if you just want to follow Edey. I think he was like 37.5 rebounds, points, and assists, 22 points or so, 23 points maybe it was, 25 points and assists, maybe it was 25.5. So there are ways where Edey eats and then, you know, let the chips fall where they may. And that would be Hurley's game plan. Basically, like, all right, well, we're just going to shut down your three pointers and he's got to score 60 to beat us. We'll see if they execute on that or not.
Yeah. And I mean, look, like, that's the other thing too, that's kind of crazy about this line is, like, Purdue could produce a performance that's easily covers the spread, but because of the way that both these teams shoot a lot of threes and especially the inside out nature of Purdue's offense, I mean, they could get waxed if they just miss shots. I mean, that's the nature of, like, one-off games in college basketball. So this bet could look horrible, but I still, in my heart, which is why it's my heart pick, I still think there really isn't that big of a gap between the best team in college basketball and the consensus second best team. And I just think that these five games has raised that line far past where it should have been.
Well, I'm looking forward to it for sure. Like, it's so much better than last year's final. So let's just sink into it and enjoy what we don't get anymore, which is, like, this didn't have randomization. That seems to be, like, what we don't like about college basketball anymore is the random nature of it with all the transfers and the threes and all that. Like, you know, last year's tournament was wildly unpredictable. This tournament has been extraordinarily predictable down to the end where we get 2-1 seeds in the finals. So I love having a, you know, kind of a Goliath versus Goliath clash. We don't even need to worry about Cinderella tonight. For the head category, I am going to continue exactly what I have been doing. I almost made this my heater, but I wanted to keep the heater for something else. I am playing 2023 Major League Baseball trends because it has done very well for me since opening day. And I'm going to continue with putting two player props together, going with Juan Soto under 1.5 strikeouts, plus Joey Gallo under 2.5 strikeouts. Put together, that is -104. Soto has one of the best batting eyes of baseball, not breaking any news there. And he avoided the double K 83% of times in 2023, already at 90% thus far in 2024. So given the underlying skills and given the numbers, this is, I'm very comfortable laying the 1.5 that he won't strike out twice. And then for Gallo, 2.5 is just a huge number. It is a huge number in modern baseball to have a guy getting a 2.5 line. And I know he's going against Blake Snell, but, you know, speaking of modern baseball, how many times is Snell even going to make it through the rotation? So if Gallo, even if he faces him 2 or 3 times, he would have to take the collar all those times. Otherwise, I'll take his chances against the Giants relief pitching. He stayed under this number in 85% of games in 2023. He did eat 3 whiffs in the first 2 games this year, but managed to keep it to 1 or less in every game since, so he hasn't even been flirting with it. So put it all together, -104 seems like pretty solid odds on the trend.
Yeah, I mean, I will cop to this here. I am Ron Burgundy because so everybody knows this. Toby is one of the most thorough preparers I've ever seen for anything. And so every time he sends me an email, I don't even check like his accuracy because I know he's so well prepared. And he made like one of his first mistakes ever. And I am Ron Burgundy. If it's in his email, it goes on the graphic. So yeah. To show my baseball knowledge, you put a player's name wrong. It was like Jen something. And because you had Jen on the show, and I'm sure it was just in your head. Yeah. And so I put it on being like, oh yeah, Toby's got this right. Like that must just be like a player that's named Jen. Like, I don't know. and so that's the extent of my baseball knowledge. I don't know enough to correct that, but yeah. I do know enough to know that you did great on these. You have this knack for finding these little value plays like this. And so I am definitely tailing this pick. This is like hockey stuff. This is like per your Perdomo bet. You find these little things and they eventually do run their course. Perdomo was starting to get hits near the end of your bets, but you made money off that dude. You made plenty of money off that dude. So I'm going back to the well on this. I'm going back to the Toby's well of finding these little things with his numbers. He just finds these gaps and I'm there for it.
Shout out to my guy Perdomo, tore his meniscus, probably done for the year. So lots of thoughts and prayers to his family, but a few my way as well. I don't get to profit on him anymore. What are you doing in the head category?
So I'm going over to the pitch. We have some really exciting, everybody's going to look forward to the national championship game tonight. So we get to watch that. And then right away, midday tomorrow, our time, we have Champions League action, and it is two big time matchups. It's 2 of the 3 best teams in the Premier League, which just so happened to be 2 of the 3 best teams in the world, against like iconic clubs in Germany and Spain, Bayern Munich and Real Madrid. And so the first one in my head category is Arsenal is going to play Bayern Munich, and I am taking Arsenal to win 2-0, which means that they're going to win the game and Bayern is going to score 0 goals at +185. And the reasoning behind that is Arsenal is the best defensive team in the world right now. And when I was researching this game, I was going through and I didn't understand this at first because Bayern's numbers, if you look at their underlying numbers, they're very, very strong. But when you dig a little deeper and you really look at the Bundesliga, there are like 2 good teams. Like, I'm not convinced that like Aston Villa can move if they move from the Premier League to the Bundesliga, like couldn't compete for a title there. I'm not convinced that even Brighton or Chelsea would be like shoo-in Champions League teams in the Bundesliga this year with the fall of Dortmund and with RB Leipzig, who used to be kind of a staple Champions League team, not looking very strong this year. It's basically been Stuttgart and Leverkusen who's going to win the league, and then it's been Bayern. And the numbers make it look like Bayern has been unlucky. But when you look at the bottom half of the Bundesliga and you look at their Champions League draw, they have played dog SHIT teams the entire year outside of Leverkusen and Stuttgart. They have not played anybody good outside of those 2 teams. Mm-hmm. I just don't believe in this team. And I think when you dig a little deeper, like Manuel Neuer has sort of fallen over into the wash category. There's a stat called post shot XG, which essentially measures like a goalkeeper's ability to save shots on the goal frame, right? And so like, depending on the location of the shot, location of the shooter, all that kind of stuff, it grades where the average keeper would save it. He's allowed more than three goals worth of shots to go into the net due to those locations. He might not even play. And then it's Sven Ulrich is their backup. Another uninspiring guy, a 34-year-old Thomas Müller, who's been an iconic player for a long time, but he's 34, which in soccer is like grandpa age, especially for an attacker. So they're playing a bunch of guys that they're giving minutes to a bunch of players that I don't think are very good, that I think are over the hill. I think their strong underlying numbers are inflated because of the fact that that league is bad, their Champions League draw has been bad, and Arsenal has been in an absolute grinder and just demolishing Premier League teams. They just drew against Manchester City at Manchester City, which is probably the toughest fixture in sports right now, I would think, Toby. Maybe you can land on this a little bit.
South Carolina Women's probably is tougher.
That would be another one. That would be another great one too. But the fact that you're getting almost 2-1 that Arsenal is going to dominate them with their defense over a possibly overrated Bayern Munich team was way too good for me to pass up.
Yep. So my cred pick, skipping ahead, is I am taking Bayern Munich plus 0.5 at plus 115. So you heard Ron Burgundy give all of his thoughts there during the flute solo analysis that he just did right there. Holy crap, Brett. I'm going to keep it a little bit shorter. They have a near-perfect record in the Champions League, even though they have not been playing the toughest competition in the world. And this is all that's left for them. They are not going to win the Bundesliga for once. They are going to lose that to Leverkusen. And they have a coach in Thomas Tuchel who has already won a Champions League with a disappointing group at home when they had nothing to fight for domestically at my beloved Chelsea a few years ago. Plus, this is the first leg, so I think both are going to play tight. Like, I don't hate your to win to zero bet because I don't know if offense is going to be either team's first priority in this game. But that's why I'm getting the draw here. Like, I'm getting draw equity with a plus number and a first leg with one of the 5 to 10 most talented teams in the world taking down Arsenal. Plus, the draw is also a win for Bayern because the second leg is in Munich. So Arsenal, as you've already said, has gone through this grinder. They are never get to rest. They've got to spend their first team unit every single time, and they're going to have a slip up at some point or another. They won't play another team as talented as Bayern unless they beat Bayern in advance, probably for the rest of the season, now that they cleared City and Liverpool. And I think Bayern has everything they need to draw, plus maybe even win on the back of a Harry Kane goal. So because I'm getting two of the three outcomes of a three outcome match where I think there's pretty close to equal odds on all three, I will take the plus number, plus 115.
Oh man, we're at odds. I guess I could have been risky and like doubled down and failed that pick. That would have been an interesting game theory thing for Trendy, but I don't have the stones, and I like your head bets too much. So yeah. I'm not going to retract. I'm going to stick with it. We'll just stay at opposite ends on that one.
All right. Well, I've already given out my cred pick. So let's rewind just a second to do heater. What are you doing in heater? And then I'll give mine.
On Wednesday, I will be giving out my Masters top 10 picks. So
we'll
do three top 10 picks for Wednesday for the biggest tournament and one of the best fields in golf. It should be a lot of fun. But I'm curious to see what Toby's heater is. What do you got for me this week? What am I going up against?
Deja vu. I mean, first time I've ever repeated a heater bet. In terms of back-to-back weeks, but this is the last week of the regular season. And why am I going to walk away from something I feel Spurs. So great about? The Spurs against the spread is a killer bet right now because Wemby is trying to put his stamp out, maybe even win Defensive Player of the Year, but show that, you know, he's not going to be a laughing stock or only laughing stock of a team again next year. And they are easily covering spreads and winning games outright. They've covered six of the last seven, and they would have covered the seventh, but the game went to double overtime. There are plenty of opportunities for them to either way, either win or lose, well within the spread there, but somehow the Sixers pulled away in second OT. So I'm doing it again. I'm getting the Grizzlies, and my only concern is they might be favored against the Grizzlies, but I think they could outright win that game. And then I get the Thunder and Nuggets. The Thunder and Nuggets on the Spurs schedule this week are probably both going to be double-digit favors, and I love the Spurs to keep it to a single-digit loss. And so I think that with the schedule and with the trends and all that, because I do want to win, I'm playing it for one more week, and it's the last week available because after this, the Spurs are heading to Cancun.
Yeah, it's such an interesting bet, and I think about this a lot, and there's a big debate, and I'll probably talk about this a little bit when we talk more about golf, and I'll shut up here because I went long on Byron after this. But I think it's interesting when something has clearly changed, like a dynamic for a team in the short term, where you know it's going to be a long-term thing. Like basically Wemby is becoming what we thought he was going to be, like one of the most dominant, iconic players in the league. And the books are still factoring in heavily the Spurs' early season performances where he was still finding his footing. And so it's a really interesting like area in betting in general that I think you can get in on, where like books are always going to use a heavy baseline performance thing. They're always going to weight in past performances in football and basketball, whatever it is. And so if you think that you can find like a short-term thing that has truly changed the dynamic of a team, that's why I think these heater bets are doing so well. And that's why I think it's great that you're sticking with it. It's a really interesting dynamic. I think it's really interesting that the way that you've approached the Spurs thing.
It's the flip side of my early season betting, which was all Thunder and Wolves. And so Thunder and Wolves were outperforming not just like Vegas's expectation, but just as importantly, public expectation, because Vegas is trying to get equal amount of money on both sides, right? So you get a team like the Nuggets, who are like, yes, these are the champions, they're the best team. Like, yeah, of course they'll cover 15 and a half against a crappy Spurs team. It's like, one, they're not as crappy as they used to be. And two, the Nuggets don't give a damn if they win by 15.5. They're happy to walk out of there with a 2-point win and no injuries to core guys. And so like early in the year, it was like the youth of Thunder and Wolves out to prove themselves. And now I'm getting the same dynamic late in the year against teams that aren't laying down, but aren't, out there trying to leave it all on the court when they have a lot more to give starting in 2 weeks in the playoffs.
Well, yeah, and I mean it's the same thing with Wolves and the Thunder too. It's like if you factor in baseline performances early in the season, like how they were playing at the end of last year would be how the books would grade them going into this year. If you think they're going to be substantially better than that for XYZ reasons, for the Thunder it was, their youth developing, and for the Wolves maybe a little bit more chemistry with the team that they had or some injury stuff that they were doing with last season. Like that's a perfect way to like jump on a line and just hammer it until the books finally catch up to it.
All right. Well, I like your cred pick. I am tailing it. The floor is yours. I like this one a lot.
All right. Well, for my cred pick, it is going back to soccer, and I will spare everybody along this one. I kind of wanted to catch people up who maybe didn't know soccer for Bayern Munich and what was going on with them. But this one's going to be for Manchester City and Real Madrid. They're playing this one in Spain at the Bernabeu. And the under of 2.5 goals is +110. Madrid has, well, their best attacker, Karim Benzema, went off to the Saudi League. They never really replaced him. So they've been playing kind of a pseudo like midfielder as like their third winger, outside of Vinicius Jr. and Rodrigo. And then one of their really bright young midfielders, Arlan Tchouaméni, has been playing a lot more minutes. And this is like one of the up and coming young guys. Madrid have like a whole bunch of these guys, like 19 to 20 year old, like stud midfielders, and Jude
It's
Bellingham and
crazy.
Tchouaméni and Camavinga. And so this is going to be a really, basically what I'm getting at is it's going to be a really defensive Madrid oriented Madrid team at home at the Bernabeu against a City team with Pep, who is going to like Pep's thing is he is very cagey. He plays to not lose matches, to not get countered, to not give up these big goals that can turn the course of a leg like this. So I think this is going to be a super cagey match. 1-1 kind of seems like the max here, unless this game really goes off the rails. And you're getting plus money for like what I think is probably the highest outcome. I think a lot of 1-0 scores, I think even 0-0 is in here. So I do feel like this is a really good line.
Whenever two of the best teams in the world compete against each other, it is almost tight. It is almost always tighter than you think it's going to be. Like, especially in the first leg of a two-leg competition when nobody has to chase at the end. Like, nobody really has to go all out. Even if it's 1-0, right? From 70 minutes on, like, you don't have to like play with your hair on fire and get countered and give up two or three late ones because you have the second leg to make it up. So I love unders in games like this, and I particularly love them in first legs. I would have made this one myself, but once you sent it to me, we had disagreed enough, and I've got one I was fully on board with. So that's gonna be that. I mean, is Real the second best team in the world right now? You might say it's Arsenal or Liverpool, but I think they certainly have a claim to it. And this is just going to be an amazing sporting event.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that the three Premier League teams are the best three teams in the world, like pretty clearly. But Madrid is right, you know, in the mix of that conversation. And I mean, look, that midfield is just nuts. Like, that's something that you put together on like a fantasy FIFA draft or something. That's where you're just like, I'm just going to pick all their good midfielders. It's pretty insane. And both these matches are going to be very, very worth watching. So I hope even if you're a non-soccer fan, yeah, Paramount Plus, throw the matches on. Get into the spot. Yeah. They're going to be good.
What do you got to do? Work? Come on, go flip a table somewhere. It's cathartic. It's going to be super scary when that midfield is supporting Mbappe and Haaland in 2 years as well. But we'll leave that nightmare for the future. In the present, we got to take our last break, do our second guess express, and then go see the stinking eclipse. All right, Brett, normally I would let you do your second guess first, but mine is the game we were just talking about. I have a Pavlovian reaction in life. If I see a plus money sign next to Manchester City, I have to bet it. So my second guess express will be City plus 145. I like them 1-0. I like them 2-0 for some of the reasons that we were already talking about. But you don't get to do a plus money bet on City more than like 4 or 5 times a year, and I'm always going to make it when it comes up.
Yeah, I mean, it's... I think there's a pretty large gap. I mean, the Porto stuff with Arsenal worries me, but I think there's a pretty large gap between Liverpool, Arsenal, and City and the rest of the world soccer at this point. but it's just one of those things where I know why you're second guessing. And it's the way that these matches tend to play out. And the draw just becomes a huge part of the equation in the first leg. So it's really hard to like get yourself to get City to win.
Well, they also concede. As a matter of course, every single match. My actual favorite bet in all sports right now is Manchester City wins, both teams scores. Like, that thing is just racking up wins for me right now over at the book. And so because they're conceding so much, you know, like it would have to get to 2-1, but I do like the under. And so like I got scared away for that reason. If they concede 1-1 is certainly a score line that would made me not put it in the contest, but it will be going in my bet slip at Caesars. What is your second guess express?
So this is a little bit of a wild one. I kind of wanted to throw it in the heart pick just because, again, I kind of want to see these two fairly, you know, iconic teams that have sort of come through the ringer. I want to see as much basketball as possible. So this is definitely like driven from my heart, but it's 11-1. For the national championship game to go in OT.
Oh my God.
You're telling me if this game gets played 10 times, nip and tuck it up where this game goes to OT? I mean, come on, man.
I'm telling you that. Yeah, those are crap odds, dude. That needs to be like 20-1 in order for it to actually be.
I would say that at least 3 out of 10 times this game is played, it comes down to the final possession. So that's, I mean, maybe we see this a lot differently. Again, I have Purdue, you have UConn, so we're coming at this from totally different sides. But I do feel like this should be a game between, like I said, if this game was played at the start of the tournament, this line is way closer. And then you'd look at 11-1 and be like, oh yeah, on a 2.5-point spread, like no brainer, like 1 out of 10 times this game is gonna hit.
Yeah.
So
that's the point. 11-1 is reflective of odds of like a 3-point, 4-point at the best spread. It's not reflective of a 7-point spread. That's why the odds need to be higher.
Well, but that's what I'm saying is I think because I'm on the side of I think the spread is wrong in Purdue's favor, then I would also think that this game is a better chance to go to OT. And again, this is a total hard thing. I just don't want this game to be like I'm just kind of dreading like turning this game off at halftime because UConn's up like 25. That's the thing. I just don't want to see that. So I am so biased on some of these bets because I just don't want that to be the way that this ends, especially if the women's tournament like kicks so much butt. Like that would be such a bummer for the men's tournament to just have a championship game where most people are checked out at halftime.
Be prepared to be bummed, Brett. You should not be bummed listening to Extra Points for the rest of the week. Of course, you'll have the Hench episode of -3. We'll have Lemon Pepper Parlay back with a little bit more NBA regular season talk, and I'm sure a lot of looking forward to the postseason. Probably some recap stuff from the NCAA tournament as well. Brett and I will be back to do soccer on Covered in Glory on Thursday. Probably be reacting to some of these Champions League games, getting you ready for the weekend. And of course, you have the rest of the week here at Trendy to see how our contest goes. So Brett, anything else you want to tell the audience before we let them go out and seek the night in the middle of the day?
do not stare directly at the sun. Bad for your eyes. Just a little bit of medical advice. You not only get great sports advice here, you get good medical advice on Trendy.
Gosh, we go release this as fast as possible, because otherwise, just think about the number of people who didn't know that.
I can save so many eyeballs.
Oh, their ears or their senses are so great right now. They can hear me.
I destroy their ears, but I save the eyes.
Yeah. Well, now that they're all blind, they can practically hear my eye rolling at your advice. And so, everyone. Come back on Wednesday, come back on Friday. We'll enjoy doing the shows with you. National Championship game, Champions League. It's going to be an awesome, randomly awesome, like Monday and Tuesday of sports. Hope that you get to soak into it, and we will see you on Wednesday. Take care, everyone.